Found in the book of Hebrews. We'll read Hebrews chapter 13, the entire chapter, in connection with Lord's Day 49. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect and make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. That far we read God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have begun looking at the Lord's prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave his disciples, we have seen that there is an intimate connection between the address of the prayer and then the first three petitions. We begin by addressing God as our Father for Christ's sake. Our Father which art in heaven. And following that address to God that expresses our childlike reverence and awe for God, we are moved to pray for that one thing that every child of God seeks. We pray, "Hallowed be thy name." When that is our goal, when our goal is the glory of God, then we will also pray the second petition, "Thy kingdom come. Rule in us by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase the church. Destroy all the works of the devil. Do all of these things because we, O Lord, want thy name to be glorified." And then, when we want the kingdom of grace to come, we will want God to rule by his word and spirit to such a degree that we actually do his will. So we pray, "Thy will be done." Father, bring glory to thyself as thou dost work in us so that we obey thy will. Do we pray that way, beloved? Do we pray with that one goal in mind, that God would be glorified in our lives? Do we pray that he would rule us by his word and spirit? Do we pray, "Thy will be done"? Grant, O Lord, that I may renounce my will and obey thy will. In heaven, the angels do the will of God. The glorified saints do the will of God perfectly. But here on earth, we don't. Here on earth, we have only a small beginning of new obedience. Here on earth, we face the devil and the world and our old sinful flesh that conspire against us. The fact is, submitting to God's will is difficult because it means suffering. It means trials. It means afflictions for us. And so, when we see our failings, beloved, when we see that we fall short in our prayer, then we pray. Teach us. We pray to God, "Teach us to pray from the heart, thy will be done." Let's look at that petition this morning. Let's note, in the first place, God's perfect will. Secondly, our submission to that will, our desired submission. And lastly, the only possibility. And that comes down to the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is the possibility of praying that petition. Let's consider that third petition then this morning, "Thy will be done." Beloved, if we are going to pray, "Thy will be done," it makes sense that we need to understand what will we are talking about. And first, we need to know, what is the will? What is a will? The will has to do, when we speak of God's will, his intellectual and conscious act of delighting and deciding. God makes a conscious act in his mind. He wills certain things. And intuitively, we know what a will is. The will, a tree children does not have a will. It grows roots down to the water. It does certain things. It transports water to its leaves. It bears fruit. But it doesn't think about what it's doing. It doesn't decide to move its roots down to the water with a conscious act. It doesn't actively delight when it bears fruit. A tree doesn't have a will, but God has a will. He has certain attributes according to which He delights in certain things. A holy God delights in His own glory. That's part of His will. As a God of justice, He delights when justice is done. He delights to see His righteous standard upheld. And He delights also when punishment is meted out, because that brings glory to Him as well. As a God of mercy, God delights to see His people showing mercy. There are things that are well pleasing to God. He delights in certain things. That's His will. And according to those same attributes, God not only delights in certain things, He also decides to accomplish certain things. He not only delights in His glory, He seeks after His glory. He not only delights in justice, He pursues justice. And so on with all of His attributes. He not only delights in mercy, He pursues mercy. He pursues His people with His mercy. He is a God who also decides. So we could put God's will then into two categories: His will of decree and His will of command. His will of decree expresses what God has decided to accomplish. And then His will of command expresses what God delights in. The activity that He delights in. Now maybe we think, beloved, that all this is abstract theology. That all this is not very important to us. And yet the importance of God's will of decree and His will of command for you and me becomes evident when we remember that every part of our lives is affected by God's will. Every part of your life and mind is touched by God's will. No matter what circumstance, God's will of decree or God's will of command have something to do with it. So we ought to understand these things. So in the first place, God's will refers to His will of decree. God's will of decree is not merely a decision that God makes, like our wills are. When we decide to do something, we will to do it. We want something to happen, so then we try to set everything in order so that it turns out the way we want it to. We might decide to have children, but God ordained something different. All kinds of things might get in the way of that plan. We might decide to buy a house, only to have our plans demolished by the economy. The point is, our decisions, our will, can be hindered. But not God's will. Nothing can hinder God's will. God's will of decree, He do it according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand and say unto Him, "What doest thou?" God has a plan, He has a will, and He executes His plan exactly how He wants to execute His plan in all of history. You know, according to that plan, God creates the heavens and the earth according to His plan. Adam and Eve, according to God's decree, fall into sin. That was part of God's decree too. So that through the dark way of sin, God could raise up His people to a higher level. According to God's plan, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for sinners. And according to God's plan, according to His decree, Jesus Christ will return again to judge the quick and the dead. He will return again for His people and take us into glory. God has a glorious plan. He has decided the way things will be. No matter what circumstance, everything in all of history is serving God's will of decree. Wicked rulers can conspire against God. They did that against Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, God overrules that. God wills those things in His decree in order to accomplish His perfect plan. And so when Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but Thy will be done," He recognized that God had decreed a certain way for Him. The wicked gathered against Jesus, but it was according to God's counsel and decree. Acts 4, verse 27. That was the confession of the saints: "For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done." God's decree meant suffering for Jesus Christ. And beloved, sometimes God's decree becomes all the more clear to us, although His decree extends to all of our circumstances, it comes to the fore, especially in times of suffering. Then we ought to consider His will of decree. God wills this when we face difficulties. When a loved one dies in old age, or when a loved one is taken out of the womb, that's part of God's decree. When we see our own bodies wearing out, when we suffer chronic pain and affliction that seems like will never go away, God willed this. When a car slams into a school bus full of children, that's part of God's decree. When we wonder about being able to make a house payment, or when we wonder about whether we will remain single the rest of our lives, when we face difficulties in our marriages, that's part of God's decree. When we lack certain abilities that we wish we had, God is sovereign. That's His will of decree. No matter how big or how small the circumstance, God is working through all of these things according to his will of decree. But then, beloved, another aspect of God's will is his will of command. Now we need to be careful that we don't confuse his will of command and his will of decree. God's will of decree is what God will certainly accomplish. His will of command, when he says, thou shalt not, and goes and gives a command, that expresses only what God delights in. God may command Pharaoh, let my people go. That's not expressing his will of decree. God may command, let my people go, and at the very same time, sovereignly decree that Pharaoh would harden his heart and disobey God's command. Be careful not to confuse God's will of command and his will of decree. I heard a minister recently seeking to promote the error of the free offer of the gospel. This minister said, there's a sense in which God delights in the salvation of all men. That's confusing. That kind of talk confuses things because it puts God's will of decree and God's will of command together. In his zeal to promote the free offer, he confused God's will of command and his will of decree. The truth is, there is a sense in which God commands all men everywhere to repent. But God has not decreed that. He's not decreed that all men would repent. We mustn't confuse those two wills. God's will of command includes those things that God tells us to do and those things that he forbids us to do. We read in Hebrews 13 various of God's commands. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. There's a command that God gives to his people. Or verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. That's showing us what God delights in. They express the commands, express not what God will necessarily accomplish, but what is pleasing to God. The commands express what is consistent with God's holiness and his righteousness. They express those things with which God is pleased. He never commands something that is displeasing to himself. He does not say to the brethren, let brotherly love continue, unless that were also pleasing to him. And so we read of Enoch in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. Enoch pleased God. And that's why Scripture says that in doing and sharing with others in this chapter, that doing good to others and sharing with them, that is pleasing to God. Verse 16 of our chapter, but to do good and to communicate, that is to share with those who are needy, to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God takes delight when his commands are observed. Why does he take delight in them? Because he himself has ultimately worked in his people to do those things to the glory of his name. He is delighted when his name is glorified. two aspects then, his will of decree and his will of command. And now the question is, when we say, thy will be done, which one are we praying for? Are we saying, let thy will of decree be accomplished? Or are we saying, may thy commands be done? Or both? There would be those, many say that the third petition has only to do with God's commands. The argument goes this way. We can't do anything about God's will of decree anyway. God is going to accomplish His decree anyway, so why pray for that? And if our prayer, thy will be done, has nothing to do with God's will of decree, well, that leaves only God's will of command. It's true that the Catechism emphasizes God's will of command. It says, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will. There's an emphasis on God's command. And yet if we stop there, beloved, we haven't said enough. In fact, the Catechism also explains that God would have every one of us to attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling. The Catechism talks about attending to the duties of our station and calling. As soon as we talk about a station, now enters God's will of decree. God has placed each one of us in a particular station. He sets us down in that station. Fathers and husbands, you have been stationed as spiritual leaders in your houses and as sustainers of your families by your gainful employment. Wives and mothers, you have been stationed by God's decree, stationed in the home as helpers. Children, you have been stationed under your parents' authority, under the authority of your teachers. Employees have been stationed in your workplaces, and every member of the church. God has placed you in a station in the church, given you a particular station, office bearers and those in the office of all believers. Wherever God has providentially placed you and me, that's our station. That has to do with God's will of decree. Well, then, in every one of our stations, God gives a particular calling. Wherever God has providentially placed us, He calls us now to carry out His orders. So, He calls you husbands to love your wives, and wives, He calls you to submit to your husbands. Children, He calls you in your station to obey your parents, to honor them. And parents, God calls you not to provoke your children to wrath. Servants, that is employees, God calls you in that station to obey your masters. And to brothers and sisters in the church, God gives a particular calling as well. Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. That's our calling in the station where God has placed us in the church. Verse 8 of this chapter 2, Hebrews 13, verse 8, or verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. That's part of your calling in the station of all believer. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation. Verse 17 again, speaking to the whole congregation, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Station and calling go together. And that indicates that God's will of decree is connected to His will of command. There's an overlap. For example, when the apostle says in verse 3 of Hebrews 13, "Remember them that are in bonds." According to God's will of decree, certain believers were in prison. They were in bonds. God's will of decree now leads to a certain calling as well. So God says, "Remember them." There's God's will of command. Verse 5 shows that same overlap. "Let your conversation be without covetousness." There's God's will of command. "And be content with such things as ye have." Be content with those things which God in His providence, according to His will of decree, has given to you. You see how they are connected. God's will of command and His will of decree. The place where God has decreed, He brings us, and there He also commands us. He gives us a station and a calling. And so the petition, beloved, "Thy will be done," involves our submission to both. We desire to submit to both aspects of God's will. When Jesus prayed to God, "Not my will, but thy will be done," He wasn't merely saying, "May I obey thy will of command." That was part of it. But He was also saying, "May I submit to thy will of decree." It was Christ's meat, He says, to do the will of His Father. That's why He took upon Himself human flesh. But doing the will of His Father's command required that He also submit to God's will of decree, even if that decree was for Him to suffer on the cross. When you and I pray, "Thy will be done," we pray, "Grant, Lord, that I may submit myself to Thy will in every way, Thy will of decree and Thy will of command. Grant that I may be content with my circumstances that Thou hast brought. And grant that I would respond to those circumstances in obedience." God's will of decree brings certain circumstances, but then He also calls us in those circumstances to respond in the way of obedience. "Thy will be done." Grant that I would have the trust that Thou wilt work for my good. And that I would have the grace to continue in the path of obedience, submitting myself to God's will of decree and committing myself to God's will of command. We can't separate God's will of decree and His command, although they are distinguished, they go together. A person, for example, without work, ought to pray, "Father, Thy will be done with regard to supporting my family." Now suppose, in praying that prayer, a job opportunity comes along, And that opportunity, however, requires him to work on the Lord's day. God's will of decree has brought this opportunity. Now how must he respond to God's will of decree? Must he say, well, this is according to God's will. His decree has brought this opportunity. I must take this job. No. Yes, God decreed that this opportunity would come. But someone who has prayed sincerely, "Thy will be done," will not ignore God's will of command, will not ignore that which God is pleased with, will not ignore the commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. And so the proper response that he is praying for, the proper response is to decline that offer and then to continue to pray, "Thy will be done," trusting that God will supply in his good time. "Lord, help me to respond to thy will in every circumstance as thou wouldst have me to respond." Beloved, that can be very difficult. It is very difficult because our sinful flesh focuses on the things here below. Our sinful flesh doesn't want discomfort. It's difficult to pray, "Thy will be done." The fact of the matter is, we have not reached proper submission to God's will until we renounce our own will and without murmuring obey God's will, which is only good. That's the way the Catechism explains the petition. That's not saying, of course, that we renounce our own will in the sense that now we don't have a will anymore, that we utterly ignore our desires. We still ought to express our desires to God. "Lord, thou knowest the thorn in the flesh that troubles me day by day." And we express to God, "Take that thorn away. That is my desire." Or, "Lord, work in the hearts of our children so that they would walk in thy ways." We express our desires to God. "If it is possible, Lord, heal this ailment," or, "Give peace." When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he expressed the desires of his heart. He did. He prayed, "Remove this cup from me, if thou be willing." If thou be willing. And so too it ought to be with us, beloved. We ought to say, expressing our desires before God, and then adding this, just like Jesus did, "Yet not my will, but thy will be done," which is only good. Thy will is only good. That's what I want. Jesus himself expressed that. "If it be possible, only if it fits with thine all-encompassing plan to save me and thy people, and that plan which seeks to bring glory to thyself." God would have us renounce our own wills. Renounce our old sinful natures. Our old man is never going to improve. Our old man will always be wicked. Our old man will not begin to seek God's will. The old man is selfish. The old man says, "Not thy will, but my will be done." That's what the old man says. When we follow our own wills, beloved, to the exclusion of God's will, it always brings evil. God's will is only good. When we follow our wills, leaving God's will out of it, then it brings evil. So we ought to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's a petition, beloved, that our flesh really doesn't want to pray. Because it may mean difficulties. It may mean giving up our right hand, cutting off our right hand and plucking out our right eye. Our old man will not sincerely pray, thy will be done. And therefore, the only possibility of making that petition lies in Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 20 of chapter 13, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant," that God, that's the one we're talking about, "may He make you perfect. May He make you fit and capable in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ." That's the possibility. That's the possibility of praying, "thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." By God's grace, we want God's will to be done the same way that it is done in heaven, the same way the angels do it. Children, do you know how the angels do God's will in heaven? When God sends the angels on an errand, do you know how they respond? Not like we often do. "Me again? I did it last time." The angels don't respond that way. They don't say, "Why don't you ask so and so?" No, the angels delight to do God's will. They don't try to hide so that God asks another angel. They do God's will willingly and faithfully. Willingly means they want to do it. God doesn't force them to do it. Willingly means they do it without complaint. They don't simply do it out of duty because they have to. They do it sincerely. They do it fervently. They do it with strong affections. They do it willingly and also faithfully. That means they do God's will regularly. They do it readily and swiftly. They do it constantly. And as soon as we see that standard, then we say, "Who can do God's will like that?" Indeed, who even prays the prayer, "Thy will be done," with 100% sincerity? Nobody prays that prayer except Jesus Christ. Nobody prays that with complete and utter sincerity. But by God's grace, we do have a beginning, beloved. We mourn our failures and we seek forgiveness in the cross. And we long for the day when God will take us to heaven, where we will do God's commands perfectly, willingly, and faithfully. But now we pray. Teach us to pray. And then by His grace we also pray, "Thy will be done." Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast revealed Thyself to us, that Thou hast revealed to us something of Thy will of decree, and also Thou dost reveal to us Thy commands. Grant us, O Lord, that we may pray, Thy will be done. May we pray that with sincerity, and then grant it, that by Thy grace we would renounce our own will and do Thy will, which is only good. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have fallen short. Lead and guide us by Thy Word and Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.